This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe for Wednesday, September 12th, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly and I'm, of course, joined by Dr. Vicki Hunter. Welcome, Vicki.
Good evening, Doug. Hello to everybody. Glad to be back another week. Good topic tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, we also, of course, acknowledge Dr. John Hightower in the background screening your calls. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of different specializations available. For more information, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. So tonight, we are going to be talking about inferiority complexes and healthy self-esteem. And so we welcome all of our live listeners as well as those listening to the archive. If you've got comments, please share them with us in the chat room. And if you'd like to call up, you can do that too. The number's on your screen there. You can join us and be a part of it. We'd love to hear from you. Tonight we're going to be talking about, you know, feeling inferior to others at times or feeling like other people can do things better. Basically, you know, where do you stand when it comes to healthy self-esteem and inferiority, that sort of thing. We're going to get to this in just a moment. Before we do that, we'd like to do our new regular format, professional beliefs, and so we'll do that now. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number one, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek are already, they already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number four, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are, therefore, equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number seven, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number eight, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number nine, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. You can find some information there. A very healthy outlook, if you ask me. Even if you don't ask me, it's still a healthy outlook.
It is the most healthy outlook, I believe. I'm with you. We all stand behind you, Doug. Yeah, you know, because, hey, every topic that we talk about relates back in some way to the nine principles of belief. Even tonight's topic, we talk about, you know, low self-esteem or inferiority complexes, which they have a big partnership. It really goes against the principle of belief that we're all equal. You know, so it's everything we discuss relates back in some way to those nine principles. And I totally support everyone to at least read them, you know, even copy them down, keep them for yourself, good refresher, and, you know, even send out the link to your friends, you know.
Read them every day, you know, and live by them.
I do.
And, and that's a great thing because, you know, it's good to keep them in mind. I mean, man, they're just healthy. You know, do no harm, do right. You're it, you're enough. You know, we're equal, all those things, good stuff. So that's part of our new format. As we announced a couple of weeks ago, we're reading the principles of belief at the beginning of every show. And, of course, we're also going to have a guided meditation at the end of every show. So here about 20 minutes till the hour or 15 or 20 minutes before we close off tonight, we'll do that guided meditation on some of the points we discussed tonight. So, all right, so we, you know, the topic is from an inferiority complex to healthy self-esteem. So the question is, you know, do you have an inferiority complex? You know, you may think, yeah, I do, or you may think, well, not so much. Well, how do you know? You know, what are some ways to tell whether or not you have it? Now, of course, inferiority complex is kind of it's an older term. We refer to it a lot as low self-esteem these days, and that's perhaps a little more current with some folks, but it's all the same thing. Low self-esteem, you know, esteem simply means to value or value oneself. And so if you have low self-esteem, that means you just don't value yourself as highly as you should. People with low self-esteem, we really refer to as having them esteem, because we only feel good about ourselves when we're doing what other people think we ought to be doing, whether it's our parents or religion or boss or whoever. And so, how about you? Where do you fit in there? You know, you kind of have an idea. I mean, we all in our, you know, heart of hearts, deep down, those secret places, we kind of have an idea of where we might stand there. You know, here's one way to tell. Do you often compare yourself to others and come up short? Think about that one. A lot of people compare themselves to others. You know, if I could only do it as well as him or her, you know, or I just don't do it as well, I'm just not as smart, I didn't have as much education, you know, I didn't have the upbringing, I didn't have this, that, the other thing, whatever. But we compare ourselves. And, you know, that can easily turn into just a negative session on oneself. So one of the things about improving your self-esteem is to stop comparing yourself to others. Gee, I'm just not as pretty as she is, or gee, I'm just not you know, as good looking as he is. You know, that's, be careful of the media, you know, be careful of Hollywood. They want everybody to kind of be in that cookie cutter fashion, but that's just not real life, you know.
It starts when you're really young too, Doug. It starts at a really young age, and I see young girls trying to be 20, 25, 30 years old, you know, by how they dress or how they wear a lot of makeup. And that is basically a low self-esteem in play. Because it's like wanting to be more than different than you are is low self-esteem. You know, and I'm not saying, hey, I wear makeup, but it's, you know, it's within a reason of just basic self-presentation and self-care. What I'm talking about is when it's overplayed. So we see it in very young people, and I think all of us at some point when we were young, you know, felt that way. We felt a little awkward or insecure, and so you're looking to your peers. You're looking to somebody else to know, well, what is cool? You know, what should I wear? and trying to fit in. And what happens is we never really feel like we fit in. I don't know about you, Doug, but when I've talked to people I've gone to school with, of course, this is a long time ago now, but their views are very different than what I thought their views were. My views are very different because we live in kind of a bubble sometimes. And that causes us to feel certain ways about ourselves, and then we retain different kinds of memory that as we're older, you know, it plays out like an insecurity or, you know, kind of an inferiority in some way. So it starts very, very young. I'll tell you, my biggest pet peeve are all those little adages that we get taught when we're young. And I do try to be really careful about them, but, you know, we're all guilty to some degree of imposing some kind of a negative thought. You know, that, oh, you're lazy. You know, you hear that from the teacher. God, I got told that one from teacher. You're lazy. You're just being lazy. Now, if you would just concentrate, but maybe you just had a bad day. You know, and you weren't lazy at all, because I think when you don't feel like you're being seen for who you are or accepted for who you are, it causes another kind of a brainwave, so to speak. You know, here's one. This one is like, grow up. You hear that all the time. Oh, grow up. But what does that mean, Doug? Grow up. Mature. You know, I think what we're really trying to say is grow up the emotions to become equal with where the mental capabilities are, the physical capabilities. So grow up the emotions means bring your emotions up to where the rest of you is. Now, I can buy into that, but this, you know, that grow up. There's lots of little things that, you know, when you and I were preparing the show for tonight about inferiority complex. I know it's an old Freudian kind of term, but this is a lot of my work that I do with people is debriefing, and debriefing to reconfigure those things that we're taught when we're really young. And, you know, we're really working on putting out positive energy, but there's this thread of something that's not coming back the same way. It's like there's a brainwave in there that we are not totally conscious of that is causing us to have a negative view of ourselves, or why can't I get it back in return? And it comes from really silly things, like my mother was notorious for saying, you made your bed, now you lie in it. I mean, what an awful thing to say.
But I didn't even make it, Mom. It's a mess.
Yeah, trouble for that too. But that you made your bed, you lie in it. Now, what does that ultimately do? It's punitive. It's kind of a forever statement. That it's not a forgiving statement. It's not a bending statement. It doesn't permit change. It doesn't permit growth. You made your bed, you lie in it. It's so final. So it's like if you do something wrong, you can't change it. That causes an inferior feeling. That causes a low kind of self-esteem or self-regard, because it means to say it's like a jail sentence. Oh, well, it's like you marry the wrong guy. Well, you made your bed. You lie in it. And I think a lot of women stay, and men too, don't get me wrong, stay in marriages for a lot longer than they ought to because of these little adages, these little sayings that, you know, we're not conscious of saying when we do them. So that, you know, making a vow till death do us part. No, I mean, really,
yeah,
what
that's
is
just
that?
Wrong. You know,
it is just wrong.
It's just, it's not realistic either. I mean, gee, it just depends, you know. There are better vows out there. I don't even want to get off on that one. So.
But I think these things do cause the inferiority or that lesser than or that, you know, I can't budge, I can't move stuff. So.
There's an awful lot that goes on that can really tends to harm people's self-esteem growing up. I mean, school is, you know, like, oh my God, it's can be very bad that way for self-esteem issues. And then, unfortunately, we carry those on up into adulthood, and we never really work to overcome them. You know, part of overcoming low self-esteem or inferiority complex is really just to be realistic with yourself. You know, I mean, we all have what was dealt us, right? I mean, we all have the body we were born in. And, you know, it just comes with the package. I mean, it comes with the model. I mean, it is what it is. So can we make improvements on that? Sure. You know, to an extent, but we really need to focus on what's the most important too. And you're never going to hear me admonishing or advising somebody that you've got to be the picture of a Hollywood movie star, bodily, physically. So that means, you know, kill yourself at the gym, make sure you're thin and slender and, you know, like them. You know, if that's your body style, great, good for you. You know, if it's not, yeah, we need our exercise and all that stuff, but the carnal stuff is not where the focus ought to be. It's shallow, in my opinion, if that's all you focus on. I want to be clear about that. It's certainly fine to you know, be in shape and tone your body and all that. I'm not saying it's not. What I'm saying is wrong is that's the only thing. It's to focus on that. You know, I got to get the ladies, so I have to be in shape, that kind of a thing. It's so shallow. What we really need to be focusing on is spiritual growth, personal enlightenment, you know, growing in our awareness, just becoming more aware of the world around us, people around us, the plight of others, and focusing on doing no harm and doing right and just growing. What lessons are there in the life has to teach us? You know, there's lessons everywhere. There's great things to do and to expand our minds and our souls and our just, you know, ourselves, being complete, self-actualized.
You know, Lewis just said something in the chat, if I can read this, Doug. Mm-hmm. If you truly believe that you are unique, then you also have to agree that there's no one else like you, right? So why try to be like someone else when, by definition, there's no possibly way you can? It's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
It makes that sense.
Yeah, it does make no sense. If, you know, if we're talking one side, it also has to be true on the other side. The thing is, what very often happens, too, is people are looking for approval from others that causes another dynamic. When you look for approval from others, I really just question, and I always ask people, well, I sure hope that they're worthy of that kind of effort. Because usually we're looking for approval from people who don't deserve it. They're people we don't usually even like, you know. It's like wanting the father complex, you know. It's, well, I didn't even like my father, so why would I want his approval, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's being sensible.
Well, but so many people, yeah, they don't really care for their father, but they're still seeking his approval or seeking their mother's approval or whatever. And, you know, another thing that comes into mind, those people that you want to be like, they also want to be like somebody else. They're also kicking themselves. Gee, why can't I be like more like him or her? You know, how come I can't do that as well? I mean, everybody's got this going around. So it's really time to just stop. You know, we don't go there. You appreciate who you are. You see yourself for who you are. You accept yourself 100% unconditionally. And then you make improvements where you see fit, you know, but we don't obsess about it. This is probably as good a time as any to go into the perfection thing, you know. Are you perfect? When I ask that question, most people say, no, nobody's perfect. And I say, well, I beg to differ. I'm perfect. Why aren't you perfect? And they will him and haw and stammer. They don't know why. They just know that nobody's perfect. That's all they've ever heard. And so finally they'll say, well, I make mistakes. And then I tell them, well, you know, it's an interesting thing about mistakes. You know, as human beings, we all make mistakes, and it's an inherent part of who we are. If we didn't make mistakes, we wouldn't be human. So mistakes just in part of the model, you know, and people still make mistakes and still are perfect. The reason that we're perfect is because there's nobody on this planet as good at being you as you are, right? And that's, of course, true. We're all perfectly ourselves. We're all a perfect work in progress. We strive to be better tomorrow than we were yesterday. And therefore, yes, we are perfect. And I always love it when I encounter somebody when I say, are you perfect? And they say, hell yes. And it's great. I about fall off my chair. But that's the attitude. Now, I'm not talking about narcissism. I'm never talking about narcissism. I'm talking about healthy self-concept, healthy self-esteem. So you have to look at yourself realistically, not take yourself too seriously, and just accept yourself for who you are. And if there's things you want to change, if you want to get in better shape, fine, go do it. But don't kick yourself for it. There's no point in kicking yourself. You know, the difference between guilt and shame, you know, when you feel guilty, it's you feel bad about something you did. When you feel ashamed, it's you feel bad about yourself. And unfortunately, a lot of parents have been good at guilt tripping and shaming their children too. I love the one, I'm so disappointed in you. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, why don't you go take that disappointment and, you know, I'll tell you what you can do with it. I mean, that's just not wrong. That's just wrong. You don't say that. I'm so disappointed in you. Wrong. Don't ever do it. Strike it from your vocabulary. Those kinds of comments kill children's self-esteem. You know, son, daughter, whatever, this kind of happened. We both know what happened. What do you think you'll do differently next time? Isn't that a much healthier approach than I'm so disappointed in you? And we don't say that to other adults either. I mean, try saying that to me and it'll get handed back to you with some other juicy, smelly stuff. So
I think the whole point is to be conscious. Yeah, it's to be conscious of what we're saying, because we're not entirely conscious of how certain things come across. Even, you know, even as innocent as a frustrating moment of, I'm so disappointed in you. You know, I mean, it's probably not intended in a bad way. It's just people uttering stupidness out of their mouth and they don't even realize what they said, nor are they thinking of how it's impacting somebody else.
Exactly. So lack of awareness.
There's a lot of things people do in innocence. And I'll tell you, like something that used to haunt me is that prayer. The prayer I'm talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I was scared to death to go to sleep, for God's sake. Somebody is going to take me. And they were witches, and they were gremlins, and they were, you know, boogeymen under my bed. You know, it was like, oh, my God. It was like, what a horrible thing to say to kids, you know.
Right,
and yet,
bed, too.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just dumb. But I really believe that these things are passed down. Nursery rhymes are the worst, I think. You know, they're all very dark and full of little gremlins and, you know, the black plague, and we don't even know it. So it's really about being conscious of what we're saying, becoming more self-aware, self-conscious. And self-conscious is not in a negative sense. Self-conscious means to say, being aware of what it is we're saying and what it means, like the meaning of a word, the meaning of a phrase. It's hugely impactful to other people. Absolutely self-aware in what we're saying. So there's lots of them. And very often in my work counseling with people, it's getting to the bottom of something, getting to the bottom of why is a behavior a certain way. And usually we don't have to look too far, because these little things are rampant. And it's not about blaming. It's not about pointing the finger. It's just really about, okay, there is a saying that we have to turn it around in our minds, because it has created its own brainwave or frequency of energy. So that saying of, you made your bed, lie in it, well, just know that you can change the sheets, and I hope you do. You know, it's being able to do a follow-through in a saying and being able to just kind of turn it around a bit.
And Lewis makes a good comment, kind of along the lines of what I was talking about in perfection. He says, you were born as an amazing and quite unique expression of the vast expanse. Hold on to that expression and stop trying to morph it into reflecting someone else's energy. And that's exactly right. You know, we, each one of us is unique. You know, we're all unique, just like the rest of us. Ha! That always struck me as funny. But we are unique. And we are a unique expression of universal consciousness, of the expanse, of everything. And there's nothing wrong with being an expression. Every single human being is. Just make sure that your expression is healthy and it is a beautiful expression. And you don't have to do much for it to be a beautiful expression. But the more you grow, the more you become self-aware, the more that you uplift your energy signature, your vibrational level, the more beautiful your expression is. Now,
you know, we all have it. Sorry, Doug, I want to just inject this one thought. What I would like people to think about in this regard: we look at children as innocent and wonderful and fun and magical, and we encourage the imagination, and it's just beautiful, and we love happy children. But we really don't like happy adults, and that is a huge question. happy adults means what, you know? And if we would remember the child in all of us that is living in a state of wonder, of magic, of always being interested in life, you know, we would all do better. So it's, you know, don't Google over all the kids, Google over everybody, you know? And I don't mean that by the internet, Google. Mm-hmm. So it's just that, you know, see it in yourself, see it in others, and try to encourage it in others and put a smile on people's face. And I think that in and of itself is contagious, too. So we have this really strange double standard going on in our societies, and we can change that just by one thought. So I know what you're going to say next, and it all really applies. So I just had to throw that in there.
Sure. Well, what I'm going to say next is we actually have a caller on the line. Jay, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Good to have you. Thanks so much for letting me be part of your show.
Well, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you're talking about the self-esteem thing. I just, you know, it always starts with our parents and some generational way of doing things and stuff like that. And you have to spend sometimes a lifetime in this life to break that pattern, to
mm-hmm.
be of self-esteem. And, you know, just it's almost like sometimes when we're on this earth, it's almost like a puzzle in a way, right? And you got to be very smart and, you know, put the pieces together, right? Or
mm-hmm.
See the commonalities in it. But when it comes to self-esteem, it just, yeah, it definitely comes from our parents when we were young, eh? So.
Oh, good comment.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Did you have a question, or was you just wanted to make a statement?
Well, I was to make a statement. My question is that why is it maybe we get on in our 40s or something like that, realize that the patterns that we have, you know, came from our parents, and then we have to go to our parents maybe to do some forgiveness, maybe for ourselves or the other people or involved, and then we, you know, we look at, you know, what could have, should have, right? And I just wondered, do we fault our parents for that, or is it because mm-hmm. of generation after generation of this way of, you know, being low self-esteem, and that's the way you do things, and that's it?
Blame sucks. Yeah. Nothing good comes from blame. Nothing good comes from pointing the finger. And I don't think it's about forgiveness. I don't even like that word, Jay. I think it's about acceptance. You know, I really do believe, even if it's in innocence and ignorance, people are just doing their best. You know, they really are just doing their best. And the question is, what do we do with it? You know, so they are who they are. You know, and they come from a different era, a different social, you know, sphere. It's life has changed so rapidly socially in the last 50 years. Everybody, it seems, wants to blame somebody else for not taking full responsibility for themselves. You know, so accept that that's just the way it was. And, you know, one of the biggest things I tell you I see that in is adoption, when people say, oh, my parents gave me away, but they're not understanding that socially those babies were taken away, you know, because we're not looking that step further. So there's the blame and finding, I think, an excuse or a reason to feel poorly. It's just self-acceptance, self-esteem, you know, and self-respect and respect for free will and just being in the moment to say, I am who I am and I don't like it, so I'm going to change it. I think it's as simple as that, honestly.
And I'll add to that, too. You know, Jay, I've often thought about what you've been talking about here, you know, in terms of blaming our parents. Do we blame our parents? And the answer is really not really. Here's the issue, to kind of paraphrase Vicky a little bit. The issue is that everybody's doing the best they can with the knowledge, experience, and tools they have at the moment. Now, some folks know better but don't go there. And so that really reveals their lack of self-awareness, their lack of awareness, period. You know, our parents all made mistakes. If we are parents, we undoubtedly made mistakes. But the idea is to grow in awareness. So when I look back on my parents, what they could have, should have, would have done, you know, yeah, they should have taken more responsibility and not sold their soul to a pointless religious belief system that only tore things apart. But that was their choice. And I was born into that family. I grew up with it. You know, I spouted the same stuff to my son in his younger years until I finally outgrew it and got a clue and got out of it. So I don't so much blame them, but it really brings me back to this one point. Our job, my job, Vicky's job, the job of many, many people, many of us, many metaphysicians, is to help raise the vibrational level of humanity. That means raising awareness. And so the more parents we can help, the more people we can help, the more adults who change and improve and grow and become, they accept themselves, they are responsible for themselves, they respect free will, they become complete within themselves, they're going to pass it along to their children. And then everything just improves. So great comments and great question, Jay. Thanks so much for calling in.
You know, it is a great topic because here's the thing. If we don't just accept that those people, let's say those people, our parents, they chose not to become more self-aware and more progressive in their thinking. But if we don't become more progressive, then we are just like them. You know, so we're talking about breaking a pattern, breaking a cycle, stepping it up, stepping up into a new vibrational frequency collectively, not just individually, but collectively. There is, in many ways, no reason for people now not to have access to some kind of help. Some people just don't choose, they choose not to. Mm-hmm. And that is their choice. But if these are the same people going around blaming their parents, I take issue with them. So it just means that they haven't broken the pattern. So that all reflects back to complexes, low self-esteem, anger, frustration, fear. Fear is the big one. People just do not want to look at who they are because they're afraid of what they're going to see, but they don't understand that they're going to see something really beautiful and really magical, and they have the power to become more of who they were born to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about inferiority complex, low self-esteem, and how to get rid of that. We've already talked about not comparing ourselves to others and a few other things. So let me go through a few tips here for building your self-esteem.
See, this is what I knew you were going to say, Doug.
Yeah, it was just interrupting.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's talk about a few things. One point that I'm going to share with you is lose the guilt and shame. My late father once wrote, I found these words in his notes after he died. He wrote, "We ought not live in the shadow of our worst moments." Now, if you think about that, it's pretty profound. We ought not live in the shadow of our worst moments. How many of us are living in the shadow of our worst moments? What about you? Are you? Are you living in the shadow of your worst moments? There's no sense in that, you know? It's guilt. It's what we're talking about. We live in the shadow of our worst moments. And so that means we're carrying guilt. And I got to tell you that when you carry guilt, when you live in the shadow of your worst moments, it takes enormous emotional resources to carry that, to keep that up. A lot of times we give that guilt safe harbor. Think about the terminology, safe harbor. It's a harbor safe from the seas. It's protected. So we protect that guilt as if a harbor protects a ship. You got to release that guilt. You literally need to release the guilt and the shame. You are a real live human being. You do the best you can with the knowledge, experience, tools you have at the moment. Now, I'm not giving you saying that there's no responsibility here. Yes, we have to accept responsibility for our actions. We've got to. That's just part of the deal, part of the package. But there's nowhere it's written that says we also have to carry guilt and shame along with it. Are you going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Am I going to make mistakes? Not ever, unless I make a mistake. Then I'll make a mistake. The point is, don't take yourself too seriously. Understand that you're human, that it's an inherent part of you to make mistakes. And sometimes they're real doozies. We've all done that. We've all put our foot in our mouth. We've all said the wrong thing. We've done other things. So unless you're guilty of crimes against humanity, don't get caught up in this stuff. We've all blown it before. Don't live in the shadow of your worst moments. How about flipping that thing? Why not live in the sunshine of your best moments? Don't focus on the bad and the negative. Focus on the good. Sure, you've made mistakes, but I'll bet you've done a ton of things right. You know, focus on those. That's hugely, hugely important. Here's another one. Focus on you. Validate yourself. In other words, have self-esteem, not them-esteem. You know, people with self-esteem, they basically have internal validation and expectations. And people with them-esteem have external validation and expectations. People who have healthy self-esteem, well, they validate themselves. They don't, quote, need, unquote, other people's praises or anything. They don't, quote, need anyone else to feel good about themselves, whereas those people with them-esteem do need outward praise. They need that pat on the back in order to ever feel good about themselves. And it's just unhealthy. You know, figure out who you are. Who are you? What are your core values? What are your morals, your ethics? As an adult, you cannot say, that's just the way I was raised. And if you do, it's a cop-out. We were all raised with crap. Everybody, even our parents were raised with crap. All of us. We have to sift through the crap. We have to say, gee, you know, I was taught this when I was young, but it really makes no sense anymore. I'm going to get rid of it. And you release it, and you replace it with a better core value. We can't say that. So have self-esteem. Validate yourself. Live up to your own expectations. And if those expectations are not in line with what your friends, your family, whoever says, well, that's just too bad. You have a right to be who you are without judgment. We already talked about not comparing yourself with others. Focus on the positive. Pat yourself on the back. You know, there's nothing wrong with patting yourself on the back. Something I've talked about before is the First National Thought Bank of your name. So whatever your name is, the First National Thought Bank of you. Anytime you have a negative thought, it's like withdrawing money from the bank. And if you have so many negative thoughts about yourself, you're overdrawn, you need to really replenish the deposit. So if you catch yourself saying something bad about yourself, you got to replace it with a couple of nice things. In fact, it would be really good to grab a piece of paper and give yourself 1 minute and try to write as many things that you like about yourself as possible in that 1 minute, at least five. And then you take that piece of paper and every day you add one more thing to it. You read it every day so you can remind yourself just how wonderful you really are rather than constant reminding yourself of how bad you are.
You know, I recently went through the Life Leadership Paragon, Doug, with a client, very bright woman, wonderful heart, sweet, sweet lady, going through some really big life changes. When she read all the points that go through the Life Leadership Paragon, you know, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, she realized in a moment that she hadn't been practicing that particularly for other people. And in a flash, she was able to embrace her own rules for herself. Basically, she had become judgmental of other people, critical of other people, and she realized it. And it was a wonderful thing to watch, a revelation, epiphany, realization, whatever we want to call it. She brought it into her own heart, and her mind started configuring to realize that everything she was saying about other people was what she really wanted to center in on with herself. And she started living from the inside out. And when you start living from the inside out, you are esteeming yourself. You're giving yourself permission. And the world takes on a whole new color. And there is no more judgment. There is no more guilt. There is no more shame. There's just learning. And then, of course, there's the process of, you know, reconfiguring thoughts. But now it's in a positive way. And really, it's about minding our own business to live our life instead of worrying about how other people are living theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So it all has a relationship. It all has a partnership. And for people who don't know and who are new listeners, the Life Leadership Paragon that Doug Kelly has written and developed is life-altering. I mean, I thought I was pretty brilliant in my work, Doug, but I tell you, you know, I mean, it really is, because you say it so succinctly in a language that is very understandable. When you accept yourself and all the things that go with that, and you begin to take responsibility and accountability, and you don't do for other people what they ought to be doing for themselves, and you don't expect other people to do for you what you should do yourself, you know, you start to, oh, light bulbs go on. And then it just goes from there about, it just, you have the free will. You are born with free will. And let others have free will. And it changes the dynamic that you have with other people, because truly, that's the best way I can say it, is the color of life changes. So I want to thank you, Doug Kelly,
for your kind remarks, but
on behalf of the people I have used your program with, it works, people. It really does.
Change your mind.
There's
more about it on mchschurch.org. And if you look at the principles of belief number 7, it discusses it. But that's the life leadership paragon, again, simply consisting of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three combined synergistically to create self-completeness. It's a simple model that absolutely will change lives, and it's the entire IMHS degree program is based on it. Everything I do is based on it. The church is based on it. It's, you know, you boil all the good stuff that all of these self-improvement experts have been talking about for decades and decades and even hundreds of years. You boil it all down, you get those three things. They're all talking about those three things. Every personal growth book, self-help book, talks about one of those three things in some way or more. So those are that's a good place to start. And if you really want to learn about it, then enroll in the IMHS degree program, because it you'll get a lot on it. Let's talk about a couple more techniques for self-esteem building, and then we're going to do our guided imagery, or our guided meditation with imagery, I should put it that way. Let's see, another point, find something to be proud of yourself for each day. You know, that's a pretty powerful point there. You know, pat yourself on the back every day. Celebrate a victory each day. Find something to be proud of yourself for every day. For example, today. Just take a moment. Think about what you did today. Maybe you went to work. Maybe you went to school. Maybe you did something else. What did you do today that you're proud of yourself for? Did you do a nice for somebody, for a complete stranger? Did you do something for family, a friend? Did you just do something that brought you joy, and maybe you've been planning on doing it for a long time and hadn't, and now you've done it? Whatever it is, find something to be proud of yourself for each day. And if you have little kids, or even any kids of any age, but if you have kids, ask them, sweetheart, what'd you do today you're proud of yourself for? Do that every day, because it gets them focusing on the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, the positive, as Zig Ziglar used to say, or still does, I'm sure. So that's another point. Another point that I'll share with you before we do our guided meditation is stand tall. Hold your head high. Think about this. Can you be a giant? Can you be 30 feet tall? If you think about it, when you see a little ant on the floor, do you really pay much attention? Probably not, because you're a giant. You could just step on it and squash its life out. Well, can you be a giant in life? And I'm not talking about with the purpose of squashing people, but in your self-esteem, in your healthy self-concept. And again, not referring to narcissism here, just healthiness, healthy self-concept. Can you be 30 feet tall? Can you stand tall? You know, your physical posture will come into play a lot. And when we are down, discouraged, and unhappy, we tend to slouch and slump. But when we're happy and excited and upbeat and encouraged, we stand tall. Well, stand tall. Hold your head high. Reclaim your power. Reclaim your dignity. You are a human being. You are an incredible, beautiful expression of the universe. You bring a lot to the table. You know, write those things down. Remember those things. Just the very fact you're here is a miracle. From all the things that had to happen and all the ancestors that didn't get killed, you know, for you to be here and back in those tough times, and, you know, even tougher than now. So stand tall, hold your head high, and smile, because it's a good thing. All right, so those are a few points. What we're going to do now, Vicki, unless you have any other comments before, I'm going to get into the guided meditation.
Well, I really appreciate what you've said about posture and walking. One of the things in, whether it's theater or etiquette or self-care that we learn about posture is to walk imagining a thread that's up your spine and that extending above your head so that the thread, you know, straighten it as much as you can and walk that way. Like something is just pulling you upward. And it's a great visual to remind people to walk better, walk taller, and just feel like you're really in your body and that you are human. So be a confident human in the world. Don't let them push you around out there.
Good points. All right, we're gonna do a short guided meditation here and talk about some of the different things we've mentioned on tonight's show and other things. So for this part of our program, I invite you to settle back, close the door, turn off the phone, you know, get into a comfortable position in a place where you're not likely to be disturbed, and just allow yourself to settle. Take a deep breath in through your nose, hold on to it for a moment, and then just let it slowly out through your mouth and just relax. You know, it feels so good to just relax and just think, for this time, for this moment, nobody wants anything from you, no demands. This is your time, your moment. Enjoy it. Take another deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. As you release it, just allow your eyes to gently close. Focus on the waves, the music, and my voice. Just settle. Breathe in the waves and the music. Let it fill you. As you focus on your breathing, the rhythm of your breathing, I want you to imagine that bright light just above your head, brilliantly, beautifully light. It's your soul light. It's your higher self. It's your essence. It's protective. It's nurturing. And I want you just to imagine that beautiful ball of light with its tentacles reaching out into the universe, connecting with everyone in a positive way. I want you to imagine reaching up in your mind and pulling it down into your body, into your chest, and allowing that beautiful, comforting light to fill you up completely. See it. Visualize it. See that pure light filling up your body, every part of your body. And as it does, you relax even deeper. Taking another deep breath in through your nose and releasing it through your mouth, you realize that you are now breathing in this beautiful light, relaxing, nurturing, healing, comforting. I want you to imagine all your worries and stresses. Imagine that they're little birds on your shoulders. And I want you to release them now, let them fly away. And carrying all that worry, all that stress, carrying it completely away from you as you continue to see this beautiful, glowing light filling up your body, your hands, your feet, your arms, your legs, your neck, your entire body. Focusing on the music, on the waves, you realize that this is a special place for you, place of relaxation. It's only you can go to. It's your special place. And it's comforting. And it feels good. And this is as it should be. As you continue to relax and breathe, you breathe in comfort. And you breathe out stress. You breathe in goodness. And you breathe out negativity. You breathe in doing the right thing. And you breathe out retribution. As you continue to focus on the music, you understand that you are a person who takes total responsibility for your life. You take responsibility for your choices, both past, present, and future. You understand that as a responsible person, you never ask or make other people do your stuff. And by the same token, you also don't do other people's stuff that they ought to be doing themselves. You refuse to enable others in an unhealthy pattern. While you're always willing to help, you still don't enable other people. You have a healthy balance when it comes to helping folks. And when they ask, you always ask yourself, if I do this, will it help them or hurt them? And you decide and make the right choice. As you continue to breathe, you also choose deliberately to release the guilt, to release the shame. Instead, you choose to live in the sunshine of your best moments, releasing the negativity of the past, releasing any negative feelings about yourself. And you feel good about this. You feel right. It feels good to just release that negativity. And as you release that negativity, you also realize that part of that is simply comparing yourself to others. And you understand that as a unique individual, as a perfect individual, a perfect expression of this universe, that you have every right to be who you are without judgment. And that who you are is perfect. And you accept that perfection. You are a perfect work in progress. You strive to be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. You strive to gain in your awareness of life, your awareness of doing the right thing, doing no harm. You strive to grow in awareness of others' plight and to help out where you can. Such a way that does them the best and highest good. Just continue to relax now, taking a lot of comfort in this solace, this time, your time, focusing on the waves. Just think the waves bringing in goodness and comfort, taking out the bad. Feels so good to just relax, and every time you do, you relax even deeper and more thoroughly. I want you to take a moment now, and I want you to see that glowing ball of light that's within you. See the beams of light reaching out of the universe, connecting with every other living thing. And I want you to take a moment right here and right now. I want you to send positive energy out on those beams of light, out to the universe, out to those who need it. Send the positive energy. I'm going to pause for a moment and let you do that. Now that positive energy has gone out into the universe, it's also time to focus on what you want. Focus on your goals. And I want you to, in the same fashion as before, send out your deliberate intent. it's like tentacles that reach out into the universe and grab on to whatever it is you want. You understand that there's plenty to go around. So for you to get everything you want does not mean that others will go without. It means that everybody has the option to get everything they want. There's plenty just for the taking, just for the asking. You send out that deliberate intent, what you want. And you understand that patience is required, but you focus on it because you know that you get what you focus on. So you focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. You see yourself as achieving your goals. You step into the future and you imagine how wonderful it will be to get everything you desire. And you step back and you know what lies before you. You know intuitively what you must do to achieve all that you desire. Now, as you continue to relax and breathe, you remember all these positive statements, all these suggestions, and they will become active in your life to your own good, to the good of everyone else. And as you continue, start to gently open your eyes, counting from 1 to 3. 1, opening your eyes, taking a breath as normal, seeing that ball of light going back up to above your head, this normal place. 2, a little bit more awake now, a little bit more mentally active. And 3, wide awake here, completely, fully aware. It feels so good to relax. Remember, you are perfect. There is no one like you, and you're getting better every day. Keep up the good work. Well, folks, I hope that guided meditation was something of value for you, and we'll keep doing those every week in the hopes that just continued listening can really make a difference. So tonight we've talked about self-esteem, we talked about rebuilding it. You know what? We can never talk enough about this topic, because one of the biggest problems in the world is
Well, we can't forget about next week's show. We have another special. I hope everybody joins us for. It's another big quarterly event, Doug. So just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah,
good meditation, by the way.
Thanks. Sorry. Yes, next week, the Rite of Equinoctial Equilibrium, one of our portrait ceremonies for the year, so we hope that you'll join us, and don't forget to get a candle to enjoy the full experience here. We'll have that, and then in coming weeks, we've got a number of other topics that we're going to explore. The magic of being your own hero is one. How to pull yourself up by your bootstraps when you have no boots is another one. We've got a number of them, so tell others about this program, about MCHS Church, if you like what you're hearing. And if you would like to be a part of it, why not go to metaphysicsinstitute.org and take a class? That's one of the easiest and best ways you can help support MCHS Church, as well as benefit yourself. And if you'd like to get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree, they're available there too. A variety of specializations. metaphysicsinstitute.org classes, mchschurch.org for information on MCHS Church. Thanks to John Hightower for screening our calls, and thanks to everyone listening live for the Minnesota Archive. And, live in the light of best moments, the sunshine of your best moments. Never give up on yourself. Have a great week, everyone.
Good night, everyone.